You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
When in doubt, get somebody.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you?
No, sir.
No way.
You must go seize the
moment.
It's going
to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Arby's on West 10th Street, where tonight we have, of course, our Tuesday tradition inside Ben Davis Football. I'm John Easter, pinch hitting for LaVon Durden tonight. LaVon is out this evening, and we hope he's doing okay. Tonight, we have our good friend, Jeff Robinson from the Flyer. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Good to have you, as always. And, of course, the head coach of the Ben Davis Giants, Mr. Mike Kirster. Coach, how are you?
Oh, it's great. Great. Glad to be here. It's another Tuesday. Arby's is great to us down here, and they had served me the best curly fries in the country, man. I love their curly fries.
And I went for the classic roast beef sandwich here for dinner.
There you go.
That's what I did, too, Jeff. I just went with the old standby. But anyway, speaking of old standbys, it was kind of like an old standby night for the Ben Davis Giants defense. After giving up 50 points against the Pike Red Devils, you turn around and half the average of the last two games because you shut out the Center Grove Trojans 28-0, Coach. Tell us about the game.
Well, I thought our defense responded. Coach Williams did a good job challenging our kids this last week to play four quarters, and not just physical. Our defense has not been a problem of hitting. Our defense has been a problem of mental focus at times, and I thought our kids did a great job. You know, the Center Grove's a great offense. They put together a great drive to start the game. We were able to stop them when they got down there. Jalen Harden came up with a big pick. The next drive they got a little shorter field, put another good drive together, and we stopped them. They attempted a field goal and missed. And honestly, that was about the really last time we really felt threatened at that point. And anytime you can shut out an opponent in the MIC, in our conference, you've done something that's hard to do. You go back and look at the MIC conference, it doesn't happen very often at anybody's game anywhere because the teams are so equally matched. You know, we were able to turn. We forced four turnovers, three interceptions by the secondary, which I believe we have more interceptions on the season right now than we had in all 10 games last year, and we're only four games into it. So I'm real pleased with the defense came out and played. I thought we cleaned up some things on our special teams in the week before against Pike. We gave up one long kickoff return and another one for a touchdown. And so Coach Schwanekamp, our special teams coordinator, kind of changed some things up. And we literally had two kickoff teams. We had a purple team and a white team, and they alternated. And we had a little incentive program out there. Whoever made the tackle got pizza on Monday. So we bought pizza for a bunch of kids on Monday. And I think their best kickoff return got to our 23 versus touchdowns the week before against Pike. So we felt like we cleaned that up a little bit. Our special teams were solid. We had a new PAT kicker in Lucas, a young man that's a transfer student from Brazil. And he was 4-for-4 for the first time ever kicking in a varsity football game or actually ever playing football. He didn't even know how to put a helmet on when he showed up. So
kind of like another transfer, you know, foreign exchange student from maybe Denmark.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, he was pretty good too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he only holds the NFL record for scoring.
This has happened before.
Yeah, so Lucas did a good job there, so I thought our special teams did a great job. And then, our offense, you know, and everybody said, well, you guys didn't score many points. Well, now wait a minute. You tell me 28 points is not many points. I think that's a pretty good night. Partly that Center Grove limited our possessions by trying to control the ball, and I thought our offense was very efficient. You know, we got out of the hole the first possession. Second possession, we kind of sputtered, but, you know, their defense – you think back now, this Center Grove defense gave up 6 points in regulation to Warren, 17 points to Cathedral, shut out North Central, and gave up 22 to Lawrence Central. So it's not like, I'm sorry, I'm wrong on that. They gave up 6 to Warren in regulation. Center Grove did, I've got Warren on my mind.
Understandable.
they gave up 21 to Carmel. I'm trying to remember who else they played. They played Whiteland, gave up 13.
Yeah.
And who was their third game?
Well, you said Warren, Carmel, Ben Davis.
So, I mean, they haven't given up many points to anybody. In fact, 28 was the most they've given up to anybody to that point. Going into the game, they were only giving up 13 points a game. So we were able to double what they normally give up. And once our offense got going the second quarter, they had a great drive. We got the ball back with a little over 2 minutes to go in the half, put together a two-minute drive, scored again, started with the ball in the start of the third quarter, went down and scored again. Now it's 21-0. Kind of changes Center Grove's game plan from there and kind of dictates a little bit. But overall, it was a solid game. I don't know that I would classify it as our best in all areas of the game, but it was a solid game and a good win. Anytime you can win in the MIC, it's a good thing.
Given that your team had come off giving up so many points against Pike, how did you feel about the performance in terms of a shutout for your team? Yep. And I mean, and what changes did you make to achieve that?
Well, I don't know that we changed anything scheme-wise. We really didn't. What we changed was maybe a little bit how we practiced. Our kids always practice hard. Chuck Swanekamp's a longtime Hall of Fame football coach, and he's on our staff. And he says, you know, I've been coming to your practice for 5 or 6 years. I've never not seen your kids practice hard. So that wasn't the issue. I think we just needed to practice smarter. We needed to have a better understanding of what it is was expected in our coverages, whether it be zone or man coverage, our blitz scheme and what we're going to run behind it. And I thought our kids did a good job focusing on, and I thought our kids took it personally. I thought our defensive kids, I know our coaches did, but I also thought our defensive players were upset after the Pike game and visibly upset and took it personally that this is their responsibility, and that's a sign of a mature team because they're willing to step out of their comfort zone and say, we've got to get better. What we're doing is not good enough.
Well, now with the win over Center Grove, that gives you now wins over Cathedral, Avon, who was for a time ranked in the top 10. They kind of laid an egg against Brownsburg this past week. But and now Center Grove and also Pike. So you've got all four of those teams – have been or are ranked right now. Number one schedule in the state, according to the Sagarins. So you stand 4-0. How do you stand right now?
Good. Honestly, anytime you're 4-0, you're happy. But as a coach, and you've been around me a long time now, John, it's, you know, I got done with that game with Center Grove, and I'm sitting at dinner with my wife and kids at 10:30 at night at O'Charley's. And my wife said, what's the matter? I said, well, I'm trying to figure out how we're going to do this week. And this kid got dinged up. And how are we going to replace him this week? And, you know, and it just kind of flips. Unfortunately, our schedule doesn't allow you a whole lot of time to sit back. And I know all the coaches, older coaches, say if you don't enjoy them, you're in the wrong. And it's just tough because, you know, the next game's waiting in the wings. And obviously we're playing another ranked team. I think Pike's been ranked as high as fifth, and Cathedral's number one in some polls in 5A, and then Center Grove at 1-3 I still think is ranked in the top 10, and Avon's like 11th or 12th, and at one point they were 6th or 7th. So, and now you're playing Warren, who's right up there, probably should still be number one because nobody's beaten them since they last won it. And I don't know, I guess I kind of look at that as until somebody beats you, you're the defending state champ, you're the number one team in the state. They haven't lost since last year when they got beat by Pike. I think week 7 or week 8 was the last time they lost a football game. So they're rolling, and rightfully so. So, you know, there is no breaks. This will be our, you know, I talked, our schedule is kind of front-end loaded, but there isn't anybody we didn't look at the first 5 weeks saying, if we're not on the top of our game, we're going to get beat.
You had your lowest point output of the season there. Largely, you've got to give some credit to Center Grove's defense for pulling it off. Compare Center Grove's defensive abilities to other defenses your offense has faced this year, including your own in practice.
Yeah, well, for us to face our offense in practice is brutal. I mean, they just shred us every day. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's scouts, ones versus ones. They just have their way with us. But Center Grove's defense, I thought their defensive line was as good as any defensive line we played. But here's the thing. I don't think we've seen a bad defensive line yet. You know, Cathedral returned two starters of their three, and the third one that came in was pretty good. Pike, you talk about large.
I was really impressed with Pike's defensive line whenever I saw them against Brownsburg.
Big, strong, athletic kids, and then you got some good outside linebackers behind them, and very physical. Avon, you got the Belden kid, and they got, I can't remember his name, but not only Belden, but number 24. Oh, my gosh. His takeoff was exceptional. And then you follow that up, and you've got at Center Grove, 51. He's a junior for them, is maybe one of the best D-tackles we've seen. Number 3, their DN, athletic. Number 94, their DN, was 6'4", 240 pounds. The other tackle was 6'6", 250 pounds. And all athletic. So we haven't seen a bad one yet, and when you get to next week, it's the same. They're big, they're strong, they're fast, and they're athletic. Number 91 for Warren is maybe as good as any D lineman in the state, you know, if not the best D lineman in the state. So it's just the way it is, you know, they challenge us. I thought our O-line does a great job rising to the challenge. I mean, even last week we didn't run as many plays, we didn't score as many points. We still had 430 yards of offense. Kyle Kastner was 25 of 33 for 308 yards and a touchdown. He's now thrown for 1,350 on the season in four games. He was efficient, took care of the ball. We had one turnover, which is good ball security. Dorian Tate rushed for over 100 yards again. So what we did when we had the ball was very efficient.
Coach, you know, before we kind of turn the page here and talk about Warren Central, Center Grove is a team that you could certainly see again later in the season. You look at their run through state or run to the semi-state, it's frankly pretty easy. I mean, on anybody's definition. Yours is not.
No.
Because, you, of course, Brownsburg, we've seen them now rear their heads this year, defeating Avon. You got Avon in the sectional. Oh, by the way, you got Pike still
again
in this sectional. And then if you get to regional, you got Warren Central. Yeah. So you got to run that gauntlet to face Center Grove and then probably Carmel at state. So what do you keep? Do you keep things from this game in maybe thoughts that you might play Center Grove in down the road? How much of that?
Or
do you realize that it's like a totally different game?
It is a totally different game. The weather could be totally different. It could be freezing. It could be raining. It could be snowing.
Right.
Totally different setting. And there's a whole lot of football that has to be played to get there. A whole lot of things that you got to do to stay healthy to get there. They may be a different team. We may be a different team if you're even fortunate enough to get there. And unfortunately, fortunately or unfortunately, our sectional is brutal. You know, I mean, there's any one of the four. You know, I'm not just saying this. Any one of the four can win the sectional. And I know everybody's saying, well, you got this. We have a bad night here or there. I get a kid hurt here or there. The whole scenario changes on us.
How unusual is it this far into the season to see a Center Grove team at the bottom of the mix at 0-3?
Yeah,
kind of weird, honestly. You know, they were
since 05.
Yeah, they were co-champs last year with us. The year before, they were co-champs with us in Carmel. So they've been 6-1, 6-1 the last 2 years, just like we have. And so for them to be 0-3 is really kind of bizarre, but he's young. Talking to Eric before the game, I don't know that it bothered him. You know, because of where he goes in the tournament, he's just got to be good come week 10, 11, 12, 13. And he knows that. And he will be. I'm just sorry. I think he will be.
I just happened to look up Eric's record at Center Grove. He's never had more than four losses in the MIC in any season.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, he was 3-4. There was a period there back when Tom Allen was the head coach. I think they were 6-5, 5-6, 6-5 type scenario like 3 years in a row.
But Warren Central, Center Grove has played Warren Central, Carmel, and Ben Davis. Which, you know, if you look at the MIC, you've got the top four, then, you know, we're talking Pike and LC.
Are
right there still kind of trying to find themselves. And, you know, Pike was a surprising loss to Carmel, I think, by margin. We can talk about that in the second half of the program. We'll send it back to the station now for a 30-second break. We'll bring it back for the second half of Inside Ben Davis Football. We'll turn the page. We'll talk about the Giants and, what's that team on the east? Warren Central.
The Warriors, buddy.
That's right, Warren Central, the Warren Central Warriors. We'll occupy our time in the next segment on Inside Ben Davis Football.
WBDG thanks Classic Kings Automotive, located at 8485 West Washington Street. Classic Kings services include the restoration of foreign, domestic, and vintage classic cars and newer autos as well. Classic Kings also offers sales and brokerage services. 317-333-4427 is the number for Classic Kings. On the web at ClassicKings.com. Thanks to Classic Kings Automotive for its support of this WBDG sports broadcast.
And welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football. Here at Arby's on West 10th Street, I'm John Easter, joined by Jeff Robinson of the Flyer and Mike Kirshner, the coach of the Ben Davis Giants. And we have a fan here tonight, so thank you very much for joining us here this evening to listen to the show. You can do that as well. We always invite the fans to come out and join us here on Inside Ben Davis Football. We're not shy, so just come on out and listen to us talk about football for about a half an hour. And right now we're turning the page, as we often do in this show, and we're going to now head over to the east side with the Ben Davis Giants on Friday night to face the Warren Central Warriors. The Warriors coming in a perfect 4-0 on the season, 3-0 in the MIC as well, and they're number 3 in the coaches and the AP poll. They're number 50 in the Max Preps poll. They're number 37 according to USA Today. The Giants are number 1 in the coaches poll, number 2 in the AP poll, number 13 in the Max Prep poll, and number 18 in USA Today. Once again, the Great American Rivalry Series is calling this one of their top rivalry games, so they will be there. 1070 The Fan will be there. We'll be there. Channel WRTV will be there. I mean, again, all the lights are on this game, Coach, and there's no reason not to be. I mean, it's the best game by far in the MIC on Friday night, and even if it weren't, there's still a reason to be at Ben Davis and Warren Central. Talk about the Warriors.
Yeah, well, obviously you get a great team, great program. Jason West has done a good job, you know, defending state champ, you know, beat Carmel 7-6 in the state finals last year. And a credit to them, they finished tied for fourth, fifth in the MIC, you know, with a 4-3 record. Got going in the state, won their sectional, came back, was down to Pike late, came back and beat Pike in the regional, and went down to state and took care of business. So they're you know, beat Center Grove the second time around after Center Grove had beaten them during the regular season. So they're a very quality program. They've got a great back in Tyrone Young, who I believe rushed for 1,600 yards last year. They got a very athletic quarterback who throws the ball well. I think their defense is especially talented. McKelty Williams, the safety that's got all kinds of scholarships. Number 91, big defensive lineman that I think is phenomenal. Linebackers run really well. They're very aggressive. And they don't get out of position very often. Solid kicking game. When you go there, it's a hostile environment. I mean, they make it so it's, you know, they try to intimidate you, and not in a negative way. I'm not being negative. That's just the way it is. And they do a great job building a great atmosphere. And we've got to go in there and just play our game and not get caught up in the emotions and the hype of the game.
I kind of felt like a lot of people seem to be selling Warren Central short. You haven't seen Warren Central maybe get the same level of attention as Carmel and Ben Davis thus far into the season. You feel that same way in terms of maybe some people selling this team short?
Yeah, well, maybe the media is, but coaches know better. You know, I've talked to Kevin Wright and some of us. We're not. I mean, you know, it's a toss up. I hope we go in and play well. I hope we stay healthy. It's still a long season to go after this, and this is notoriously one of those games that's very physical and very demanding of your attention mentally and physically. And I don't know why people would sell them short. Like I said in the first segment, they probably should be ranked number one in both polls. They haven't been beat since last October sometime, and they deserve to be at the top of all the polls because that's what they've done. Until somebody knocks them off, they're the best team.
Until they're knocked off the pedestal, they're
that's
number
right.
one. You take a look at this series between the two, and frankly, it's not been good lately for Ben Davis. Of course, you do have good memories the last time you went over there, 6-3 win for the Giants in a really odd football game. I think that's the only way to describe it. But the Giants are 2-8 in the last 10. 14 of the last 17 have gone to Warren, and only 7 of those 14 have been decided by a touchdown or less. So that's not really good in any way for Ben Davis. How do you start to turn the series around.
Well, you focus on the game that's now. You don't focus on the past. You try to use the past to learn what you did right or what you did wrong, but this is a different team. This is a different year. We did not play well the night we played them, and that's a credit to them. They jumped on us early, got up to a 14-point lead. They were 14-0.
You're talking last year.
Yeah,
last
they were up 14-0. Final was 24-7. We didn't play with any intensity. We didn't play with any enthusiasm, any heart. It was just kind of an odd game. You know, we were still trying to find ourselves. But then to credit to that team last year, we ripped off the next five and ended up winning the conference, you know, when everybody had kind of written us off. And so we got to find a way to match the intensity. You know, there's what you call rival games, and it's kind of odd to warn. This is a huge rivalry, and when you talk to our kids, the rivalry is more Pike and Avon and Brownsburg, the guys we're closest to. And you know, although they realize that the quantity and the overall intensity of this game, there's not that same, I don't know, attitude. I don't know.
And would you agree that that has changed maybe since Pike has become more of a power?
Oh, there's no question, because it used to not be anybody over here necessarily that really kind of brought out the best in us. Pike brings out the best in us. Avon brings out. Brownsburg brings out the best in us. In fact, when I first got here back in 2000, probably the biggest thing next to a rivalry on the west side was Decatur.
Yeah,
Decatur and Ben Davis. And we, 2000, I think we were down. I mean, we were getting ready to get beat.
James Banks
put together a great drive and scored with a few seconds to go to win the game. And that was one, honestly, that, you know, me and Tom Allen talked about before, that they got in double tights and just started beating us up, which is not something Ben Davis does very, very often. And credit to Mike Gillen and the Decatur Central guys at the time. But that was the closest thing to really a West. You know, Avon and Brownsburg were still not in the same class as us, so we didn't play them. And Pike didn't really get going until Derek got there. So, it's kind of changed its focus.
First glance, this looks like another game of strength versus strength. Your offense against their defense. Something's got to give. Yeah. Where do you see this going?
Well, I don't know. It's a good question, because their defense is very good. You know, they gave up 6 points in regulation to Center Grove. They gave up 17 to Cathedral, 22 to LC, none to North Central. So it's very similar to what we were dealing with last year. You're going in with a team that's given up about 12 points a game, you know, versus our offense, which is scoring. I don't even know what they're scoring a game. But they've been pretty efficient all year.
45.5.
All right, 45 points a game. So it's going to be a matter of whether our offense can keep moving the chains. I know the one thing our offense has been very efficient as is first downs. I've never had a team average 20-plus first downs a game through four games. I mean, everybody talks about all our passing. Well, our passing is also very possession-oriented. We don't necessarily get 80-yard pass plays. We get 15, move the chains, 10, move the chains. Keeps the clock moving, keeps us moving. Our tempo's very fast, which is by design to kind of keep the defense sucking air and getting on their heels a little bit.
How similar, you saw that a little bit last night with the Colts and the Philadelphia Eagles. How similar would you compare your offense to what Philadelphia is running now?
Well,
personnel-wise, you can, but
it's similar as far as what we're trying to do with the tempo. Although I'd say they're even faster than we are. You know, their goal is to get a playoff every 25 seconds. The difference is in the NFL and high school is we can't do anything until the official spots the ball. In the NFL, you get up there, the official just runs up and puts it down and takes off, and you can literally get going at a much quicker pace. Whereas in high school, the officials, if you get officiating crew that doesn't want to hustle and put it down quick, they can kind of control the tempo of the game for you and kind of prohibit you from going as fast as maybe as you want.
What kind of benefit do you feel like you could gain, or was there anything you learned about your offense last week getting prepared for a defense as good as Warren Central's? I mean, Center Grove obviously being a stern test, but was there anything that you really learned by having a stiffer test from a defensive standpoint?
Yeah, no question. Here's two things. First, Center Grove's defense is very similar to Warren's. in their front scheme, in their linebackers, in their secondary scheme. There's a lot of similarities. And so we were able to take some of those things that we didn't like that we were doing against St. Grove, wasn't working as well, trying to get better at them, tweak them, maybe change the blocking scheme a little bit to give our kids a little bit better advantage this week going into Warren because the schemes are similar.
And there's no wonder why, because he comes from Central background.
Yeah. He was there for, I don't know how many years he was there, but he was there for a period of time.
When you look at who Warren has played so far, you know, you talk about him being 4-0. They played Center Grove. They played Cathedral. But they also have North Central and Lawrence Central on their schedule as well. So their 3-0 in the MIC is a little bit different than your 2-0 in that you played Pike and Center Grove. And you know, you have the common opponents there with Center Grove and Cathedral. You know, a lot of times I think people out in pundit land will say, well, Team A beat Team B, yeah, so Team C should beat Team A. Why does that not hold true in the MIC?
because all the teams are equal. I mean, when you look at it and you sit there and say, well, because you beat Center Grove 28-0 and Warren only beat them 12-6 in overtime, you should be a two-touchdown favorite. Well, that was the first game of the season, not the fifth game. The first game, there's a lot of mistakes made. I remember watching our first game and turnovers and mishandling of the ball and getting out of alignment, whereas now you've had four more weeks of practice, so you've kind of tweaked that and figured that out, and so now the teams are better. And you're hoping you're better, but the team you're getting ready to play is better. So you can't, you know, week one, we kind of caught Cathedral, you know, and I think the final was 44-19, but we were up 23-0 in the first quarter. We were playing faster than they were ready for. If we played Cathedral now, it'd be a completely different game. They played them week two when they had a chance to fix some things. And, you know, Warren jumped on them 20-0 at half, held on to win 20-17. But Cathedral's that kind of team that if we played them 3 weeks from now, I guarantee it wouldn't be a 44-19 game.
Well, and that's something that you talk about jumping on people early. That's something you've done in every game so far this year, with the exception of the Avon game where Avon went down and scored. But after that, you kind of jumped on top of them, and before they knew it, they were down. Have you noticed that in this team, that they want to get out to that early lead and just hop on people?
Yeah, well, you always do. This team, more so than our last two, and the last two teams have been pretty good. We were 6-1 in the MIC 2 years ago and 6-1 in the MIC last year. So they've been pretty good for 2 years in a row, but our offense 2 years ago did struggle. We struggled to get first downs. Our defense was very good. Last year we felt like after the Warren game, we made some changes in our offense and we got better. You know, we scored 49 on Pike and 42 on LC, and I don't remember what the LN score, 28 on Carmel, but we just kind of got going. You know, 37 on Center Grove, who was 6-7-0 at the time. I don't remember. So we kind of got going, but we're always talking about starting fast, taking the first possession. But you also got to understand the other team's starting fast. And last week, you know, and just like in Avon, our first two possessions, we didn't go anywhere. And then we kind of got going against Center Grove. Our first two possessions were punt and punt. And then we kind of got going because, you know, as a staff, you're trying to figure out what they're doing. All right, we think watching film, this is what we're going to get all week. And then they show up on Friday night, and it's not what we saw. All right, we got to do this, this, and this. So you're playing a little bit of a chess game.
Oh, we've talked week after week about the performances Kyle Kastner's been having. Has there been any changes in the attention he's getting from some colleges out there right now?
Without mentioning the college's name, on the sideline Friday, he sat there and told me after the game, he goes, I can't believe no MAC schools have picked this kid up. He goes, that's unbelievable. He sat there and watched the whole game, and he's a big-time BCS coach, said, I cannot believe there's not a MAC school saying, I want this kid. He goes, Coach, he was phenomenal. And again, he's hitting on about 70% of his passes, 1,300 and plus yards, 10 TDs, 3 picks, handles the balls, rushed for a couple hundred yards. He can run when he has to, doesn't want to, you know, because we don't ask him to, but he can, and is in complete control of the offense mentally. He's just in control.
Well, Coach, it's neon night for the Purple Rain coming up on Friday night, but we always give you a chance to give the fans a pep talk, so
Here we go, folks. There's no excuses. We're eliminating the excuses. We are taking fan buses to Warren Central. I'm not sure what's included in the fan bus. I know last year it included pizza, your ticket, and the fan bus. I don't know what they're working out this year, but you have a ride to the east side on a fan bus. So if your excuse is you don't have a ride, you're lying. Get up off your butt, get on a bus, and get over there and make us loud and proud.
And how much, you know, just in the final seconds, how much does it mean for the team to look back there and see all those fans?
There hadn't been a night go by our kids don't comment on what a great crowd we have. I don't think they realize it. I don't think they're we say it enough. We thank them enough. But the reality is our kids need to feel that. Warren, I guarantee you, is going to have a packed house. It's going to be loud. It's going to be crazy. We have to kind of match the intensity on our crowd.
Hopefully there'll be a lot of purple on the east side.
Yep. Let's go.
Anything else, Jeff?
I'm just looking forward to covering your team. First time I get to see your team in person.
Right. Right. It'll be good. Hopefully we'll put on a show.
Well, hopefully a couple, maybe some records fall on Friday night. I know Kyle's getting close to James Banks. Mm-hmm. And you too, Coach. Maybe have some records too with moving into second, at least tying for second. So
yeah, I think I saw a little blurb about Mike's just one game away.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens, though. It should be a great game. We'll have coverage beginning at 6 o'clock p.m. on Friday night with a replay of this show. We'll have lots more between then and the top of the hour when kickoff happens, probably at 7:05, because I think it's a TV game.
Yeah.
So it's
Hometown Network.
Mick game of the week as the Giants and the Warren Central Warriors tangle yet again. And, you know, hopefully it'll be a great game. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. It'll be a lot of fun.
Jeff, thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks to Corey Johnson back in the station. LaVon, get back. We want you back here because I don't do a very good job. This has been another edition of Inside Ben Davis Football on the Sports Voice of the Giants, Giant 90.9.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
Staying up again, second and goal. Now ball at the 6-yard line. 2:48 remaining here in the first half. Play clock down to 16. Kastner and Tate in the backfield. Going to hand out the gut to Tate. Tate breaks free and gets in with no problem. Touchdown, Giants.
And a great job there by Dorian Tate. Welcome back, Dorian Tate, running over on the left side to pick up the first points of the game here for the Ben Davis Giants offense. Now the Giants lead 6-0 with 2:38 remaining in the first half.
Kastner hands it off to Evans. Evans runs right up the gut. Touchdown, Giants!
Chris Evans, the monster, running up the gut for a touchdown. Beautiful job there. Giants are finally scoring 13-0. 48 ticks left on the clock for this first half. And great execution by the Giants in their two-minute offense.
Kastner and Tate running again in shotgun formation. Goes to the near side. Evans, Emerson, and Bond to the far. 9:29, play clock down to 10. Kastner's in the back of the pocket, hands it off to Tate, who breaks the tackle, 20, 15, 10, cuts back inside, then back out, touchdown, Giants, as he followed his line and is able to get into the end zone on a 20-yard run.
Great job there by Dorian Tate. Welcome back, who was nearly tripped up in the backfield, but able to break away with his strength and power, touchdown, Giants.
Third and 9, ball at the 28-yard line. Tate over to the right in motion. Kastner steps out, rolls to the left side. Open man! Touchdown! Giants!
And a beautiful route there ran by Chris Evans, who was left in no man's land. Chris Evans, wide open touchdown. Giants lead 27-0. Touchdown, Ben Davis! Beautiful run there by number 25 of Manny Harris.
From WBDG.
Now it's time for WBDG's Player Perspective Time with your own Ben Davis Giants running back Manny Harris. Here on Manny Talk on Giants 90.9.
And we're back here for another edition of Manny Talk here on WBDG Giant 90.9. Corey Clark here on the mic, joined by always the running back of the Giants and the newly position defensive back Manny Harris. Manny, what's up?
Man, you know, just chilling.
All right, you ready? You guys are getting pumped this week for the big rivalry game going to Warren this week. Before we talk about that, great job against Center Grove game. You guys got your fourth win of the season, now 4-0 against the Center Grove Trojans. But the game started off pretty slow. You guys are usually used to scoring 20 points a quarter. Scoreless game going into the second quarter, but towards the end, the offense started picking things up. Give me the details to that game, the rundown. How did Christian get you guys back into that game?
Man, you know, we, like you said, we started off slow. I really can't tell you what the problem was starting off slow, but, you know, I think our heads weren't really in the game. You know, we were just, you know, going through the motions. But, you know, as we picked things up, you know, we started to get a little bit of momentum going, and we started to pick things up and march the ball down the field. So,
all right, well, good job on the win. You guys are now 4-0, now entering another game. The battle of the undefeated right now, number 3 in the state, number 2 in the state. Ben Davis Giants, number 2, Warren Central, number 3, going into both 4-0 and both on the top of the MIC. And you both lead the MIC standings of all-time wins, and the winner of this game will have number 1 in that category as well. Before we get into that game, what's one thing people want to know about this team? Before we get into the Warren game, like, is there something behind the scenes access you guys do differently that no one would know? Give from a fan perspective, what's one thing they want to know about the Giants?
We may have our differences with some of the people on the team outside the field, but you know, when we're in the locker room, we're on the field, you know, when we're all together, you know, it's we're all a family, you know, we're a big family, you know, work together, we give each other tips, you know. But like I said, man, we're just a big family. You know, it's not too much to really know about us, but unless you, like, ask, you know, specific questions. But, I mean, as far as that, you know, really we're just a family on the field.
And that's all you can really ask for is one big family. Coach Mike Kirshner really helps you guys get through that, motivates you guys to be family and all get be close, because on the football field, that's how you make things happen and wins.
Yeah.
All right, another question. How does the defense and offense getting ready for this game against Warren? I know there's some talented pieces on that team. Mm-hmm. And McKelty Williams, who can play the defensive side of the ball, who has numerous offers from colleges outside in the SEC, the Big Ten, the Pac-12. And you can keep going on those names. He can even play the Wildcat. He actually scored a touchdown against Ben Davis last year when Ben Davis played Warren Central. Ben Davis lost 24-7 in that game. But the last time we went to Warren, we won in that crazy 2-night, 6-3 field goal game at Warren Central 2 years ago. And going into that, McKelty Williams, he's just a dangerous player who can play about anywhere. But getting ready, how's the defense and offense just preparing for not even just McKelty, but for this Warren Central? Because as you said, they're a dangerous team.
You know, from offense standpoint, you know, we may have certain plays, you know, that we may change up, that you know, certain running plays that may hit a different gap, you know, that we may have different passing plays that, you know, we may switch it up a little bit. You know, it's not really too much of a change, but, you know, we kind of adjust it a little bit so it won't be so that everything that we do is actually on film, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So everything will, you know, be pretty much different from the defense standpoint, you know. We pick out different plays, you know, from film that we see that they do and that they're successful in playing other teams, and we do our best to try to stop it. You know, we pay a lot of attention to it, and we run all those plays and practice with the scout offense, also with the scout defense, to see if we can get a look of what they're possibly going to do, to see if we can stop it, which we're going to.
All right, he's confident right here against this Warren game. Both 4-0 going into it. But before you go into this week, before you go into the night, Friday night, there's many things you guys have to do to get ready for that Friday night football game. And it starts on Saturday, the day after the game. So give me through a normal week of the Giants and what Coach Mike Christian had you guys do starting with Saturday, right after the game.
Right after game Saturday, you know, we come in, we're focused, you know, any bumps or bruises, you know, we try to get fixed up as soon as possible. So, you know, Saturday, you know, we come in, watch film, get taped before, but we come in and watch film. Then Sunday, we take the Saturday off, by the way. Sunday, you know, that's a relaxed day, you know, we chill, relax, you know, watch a little bit of football. Monday, we're back on it, you know, everything is just like, it's not really a walkthrough, but, you know, it's a different team. So we look at the technical things of what we need to do. As far as that, you know, we go out pro pads, we practice. We don't go through the motions. You know, everything is, you know, speed. Tuesdays, you know, we're full pads. You know, we're hitting, we're aggressive. You know, we don't want to hit each other too hard because, you know, we want to be ready and full health for the game. But, you know, we're hitting. Wednesday is the same thing. You know, we're hitting. We're watching film. We're seeing what we need to work on from Tuesday and fix what we have to fix for the game on Friday. It's Thursday. You know, Thursday is like a walkthrough. You know, we don't really go through the motions. You know, we never want to go through the motions, but it's really a walkthrough. And Friday is game day, so that's what we do.
As a student, because you guys are still in high school, you can't really just wake up and go straight to the football field. You guys are all, and you also have schoolwork to do. You guys, Monday through Friday, you have school. Monday through Thursday, normal, is just school day. But how do you? When does it start kicking in that Friday? It's game day, and you guys start like zoning out school. I know it's bad to say, but every athlete does it. I do it. You zone out school, and you just start getting ready for that game.
Well, every player is different, man. For me, you know, I try to, you know, go through my day as normal as possible. Get through my classes, make sure I'm focused in my classes and my work, get all my work done. 10th period, I'm zoned. I'm in the zone, you know, I'm focused. You know, we after 10th period, we go eat. And then right after that, it's just like quiet. It's quiet. No one's really joking around. No one's playing around. It's one focus. We're there to handle a job, and we take care of it.
All right, well, you guys got a big game this week going 4-0. Real quick, let me ask you this. Make it short and sweet. What's one factor, Warren, you got to look out for? Is there just one basic thing you got to look out for, or is it all?
It's all the things, you know. We don't really just point out one player. We don't just point out, you know what play, certain play. But we try to look at it. They have a great, decent program. And, you know, we try to take care of our individual jobs.
All right, well, thanks again, Manny. Always great to have you. Have them next week when we start getting ready for that big game coming up. But right now, the defending state champs and Warren Central, number 3 in the state, are hosting our number 2 in the state, Ben Davis Football Giants, to battle the undefeateds. One team's leaving with a loss. We'll be right back here on WBDG Giant 90.9, your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was the Cool Kids Corner,
a show featuring two dudes having fun and playing electronic music.
But this year, it's getting even swaggier.
Monday morning? Nah.
We're on the air Friday afternoon now. Just one genre?
Please, this is the station for variety.
The all-new Cool Kids Corner featuring hosts
Robbie Sum,
Eric Stemshorn,
an all-new cool kid, Courtney Cassidy, playing a different genre every week from 11:50 to 12:40, right here on WBDG Giant 90.9, your station for variety.
It's now time for the Purple Rain Minute on Giant 90.9, your station for variety.
Here we go, folks. There's no excuses. We're eliminating the excuses. We are taking fan buses to Warren Central. I'm not sure what's included in the fan bus. I know last year it included pizza, your ticket, and the fan bus. I don't know what they're working out this year, but you have a ride to the east side on a fan bus. So if your excuse is you don't have a ride, you're lying. Get up off your butt, get on the bus, and get over there and make us loud and proud. There hadn't been a night go by our kids don't comment on what a great crowd we have. I don't think they realize it. I don't think they're. We say it enough. We thank them enough. But the reality is our kids need to feel that. Warren, I guarantee you, is going to have a packed house. It's going to be loud. It's going to be crazy. We have to kind of match the intensity on our crowd.
Hopefully there'll be a lot of purple on the east side.
Yep. Let's go.
Welcome back, football fans, to Giant 90.9 WBDG Indianapolis. I'm your on-air personality, DC Graves, the host of Freestyle Friday, and your Purple Ring Leader. Tonight's the big game. It's Warren Week. We're playing the number 3 team in the state. We're number 1, number 13 in the country. We're 5-0. Warren is 2. We're going to have a great game. Giants are going to pull out the victory, and we're going to march on to homecoming week, which is next week. There's no theme that's been determined for next week, but we got to think about tonight, send positive vibes to our Giants. And next week for homecoming, we're going to have plenty of festivities and ideas. Root on your Giants. Support them. They're number 13 in the country. Best team out there. If you can't make it to the games, keep listening on Giant 90.9 every week for Corey and LaVon and Trinity for the best telecast in the state.
Ball comes loose. Giants let that recover, and they have.
Welcome to the Mick, freshman. Welcome to the Mick.
Now it's time for Mick Talk with your host, LaVon Durden.
Now 4 weeks in the Mick, the conference has taken a new shape with the best teams on top and the struggling teams on the bottom. Since there are 7 conference games to be played by the all teams, no one is out of contention just yet. So let's take our first look at the Mick standings. Currently at the top of the Mick stands the Warren Central Warriors. They lead a half a game over the Ben Davis Giants and the Carmel Greyhounds. Warren, Ben Davis, and Carmel are all still undefeated on the season. Tied for fourth and fifth stands Lawrence Central and Lawrence North, who are both 1-3 in the season, but both are 1-1 in the MIC. At the bottom of the conference stands Pike, North Central, and defending co-MIC champions Center Grove, who are all still looking for their first MIC win. Now that you know the standings, let's see which MIC team will play against each other in this Friday's action. This week, the undefeated Carmel Greyhounds travel to the 1-3 Lawrence North Wildcats. Last week, the Greyhounds dominated their MIC opponent, the Pike Red Devils, 48-21. Meanwhile, Lawrence North ended a 23-game losing streak against North Central, which they won 32-13. The Wildcats have lost the last 9 straight meetings with the Greyhounds, with their last win coming on September 17, 2004, in which they won 23-18. Game time is at 7 p.m. The winless North Central Panthers will take on the 1-3 Center Grove Trojans this week. The Panthers lost last week 32-13 against Lawrence North, while the Trojans also lost in a shutout to Ben Davis 28-0. Last year, North Central lost to Center Grove 41-14. Center Grove has now won the last 3 meetings. Game time is at 7 p.m. Another MIC matchup this week pins the 2-2 Pike Red Devils against the 1-3 Lawrence Central Bears. Pike came off a loss to Carmel 48-21 last week, while Lawrence Central lost to Warren Central 42-21. Lawrence Central and Pike have split the last 6 games, with Pike winning last year 34-3. Game time is at 7 p.m. as well. The MIC game of the week puts undefeated top 15 nationally ranked Ben Davis against rival undefeated MIC leading defending 6A champions, the Warren Central Warriors. Ben Davis came off a 28-0 shutout victory at home against Center Grove last week. Warren Central, on the other hand, also came off a victory last week against Warren Central 41-22. Ben Davis has won 7 consecutive conference games, with their last conference game loss coming to the Warriors last year on September 13, 2013, with a score of 24-7. Warren Central is also on a streak of 11 consecutive overall wins. Their last loss came on October 4, 2013, which they lost 21-15 on the road against Carmel. The last time these two teams met at Warren, the game was postponed until Saturday, and the game was won by Ben Davis with a 50-yard field goal. The score was 6-3. Game time will be at 7 p.m. There's plenty of action going on with the 5th week of the season getting underway. There's sure to be a big mix-up in the conference standings after tonight. For MIC Talk, I'm LeVon Durden, and this has been another edition of MIC Talk.
WBDG thanks Classic Kings Automotive, located at 8485 West Washington Street. Classic Kings services include the restoration of foreign, domestic, and vintage classic cars and newer autos as well. Classic Kings also offers sales and brokerage services. 317-333-4427 is the number for Classic Kings, on the web at classickings.com. Thanks to Classic Kings Automotive for its support of this WBDG sports broadcast.
Tonight, the Ben Davis Giants travel to the east side of Indianapolis to face their arch nemesis, the Warren Central Warriors. The Giants and the Warriors arrive undefeated and nationally ranked. And the game is being featured by the Great American Rivalry Series. With various media outlets in attendance, this is the game of the week. And for the first time in a while in this series, the Giants should be considered the favorites on paper. With a potent offense led by Kyle Kastner and a resurgent defense that shut out state-ranked Center Grove just 1 week ago, the Giants are a powerhouse that defenses are finding hard to contain. But none of those defenses are like Warren Central. Solid at every position, the Warriors are led by the multi-talented McKelty Williams, who is not only the sheriff guarding the defensive backfield and trying to prevent Kastner from having a big day, but Williams will also be seen on the offensive side of the ball as well. He's a star with lots of offers to play at the next level. The Giants also have players like Cincinnati commit Norman Oglesby and the highly regarded Asmar Bilal, who's trying to decide where to take his talents in college next year. In short, there's talent all over this field, and tonight should be a great one. For the 87th time in the series, the Ben Davis Giants battle the Warren Central Warriors in football. And for the umpteenth time, it's on Giant 90.9. Live from Warrior Stadium, the game is next. We'll be right back.
This Ben Davis Sports Radio Network broadcast is underwritten by Classic Kings. And now we go live to the stadium with the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.